Signs of the Southland, Monday, January 22nd, 2024. Some programming reminders before we get started. Two sets of interviews in two separate weeks as we head into baseball and softball season. Jack did an awesome interview with Coach Eileen Morales last week. That is up on your feeds. Check that out if you please. And then on Thursday, we will have interviews with baseball players Ben King and John Geisler. Anything you want to tip about these interviews, Jack?
Oh man, I gotta give props to Ben. I've interviewed a number of folks. Most of these are on Zoom, but a few of these I've been able to do in person over the last year and a half. He is the first athlete to show up to the interview before I was there, and he was professional and everything. The SID called him President King as we walked in, and this dude's a smart kid. He's fantastic. He's got med school coming up his alley, so the fact he is of our best baseball players also super cool. So y'all are gonna love hearing him. And John's been around for ages too. They've both been around for ages. They're both co-captains. So this is this is the seniority of the team we're going to hear from.
So, question, is he the president of the Student Athletic Advisory Board? Because that would make a lot of sense if he's going
You
to med
know,
school.
that would, I feel like I can find this really easily. So I'm gonna just do that. Y'all, tell me about a baseball thing y'all want to have happen this year while I figure this out.
Win. I would like to see a few wins. I think that's a reasonable goal. How's that? Akshay, thoughts?
You ask for far too little. As always, I think, Jake, I don't think I have to say it, but I think our expectations are the same for every year. And I think we can leave it from the for there.
All right, I've got it.
Yeah, that's for the preview, you know.
The president is in fact not Ben King. This is another 2023 2024 directory. It is our Liz Patterson, the volleyball team.
Oh wow, good for her.
He had to have done it last year. I am almost confident that he did it
Maybe
last year.
it feels right in my head, you
The
know.
only baseball player listed on this is Cam Hill in the Student Athlete Issues and Education section, and along with Caleb Blackshear, Parker Brocious is with him as well. Kara Dunn, Riley Prilakowski, and Elias Shockery are in that committee, I guess you can call
Gotcha. Makes sense.
What I find very funny in this nice photo that the whole board took in McCamish Pavilion is that none of these quarter zips or zip-up sweaters are Adidas branded. Not a single one has an Adidas logo other than for the advisor that has an Adidas quarter
It's a
zip
good
on.
point. Yeah, it's a good point.
Anyway, no need to dwell on that. Other news before we get started, softball tickets, single game tickets, excuse me, are now on sale. That season starts in far, far less time than you would think, just under a month.
Oh,
Baseball season
under
also.
2 weeks.
Baseball just under a couple weeks as well. Gentlemen, Mr. Purdy, Mr. Grant, let's get started with a construction corner update. Mr. Purdy, what do your boots on the ground tell you?
My boots, my new shoes. Did get new shoes for Christmas. Very nice shoes that my parents got me that are all tech colors and stuff. We've mentioned throughout the last couple of months that the sidewalks had all been getting redone. I think we mentioned with Maggie Scroggs after the bowl game, we're like, there's no sidewalks anymore because they were building all of them, and now they're all done. New sidewalks are in around Peter's parking deck, and the cycle track that's on a what is it? Fowler, not Fowler. The street that goes next to Peter's parking deck.
Britain Drive. Britain Drive.
Yeah, Britain, that's right. That's right. Yeah, Britain Drive.
There's
That
fourth,
one.
and then Britain is next to the sororities.
Yes, yeah, it's Britain. So yeah, that one, that cycle track is done. Looks really nice. All that's repaved. The sidewalks are much wider. The main thing left is the cycle track on First Drive is still to be done. So if you haven't been to campus in a while and your returns feel a little off, it's because, yes, they have shifted all of the lanes over. And so the bike lane that was bordering Russ Chandler Baseball Stadium is no longer there because that section got moved over to the other side of the street. So it's
Also,
minor
the lane
things.
lines the last time I drove there were not clear because they had two sets of them and one was not entirely faded, and
Yeah,
it
they're
really
still
threw
working
me
on that.
off.
The fading, yeah, the fading, the times I've driven on first recently, yeah, the fading is still throwing me off a little bit. But it's cool that we've needed the cycle tracks. So they'll make I've already seen people using it quite well, and it's looking so nice. It's a big upgrade for campus.
Good stuff. Some other news that came down the pipe, I think earlier this week, is that construction, or I guess demolition of the Edge Rice building will start over the next couple months. Is that correct?
Yeah, one of the people at the athletics mentioned that to me. Everyone's moved out basically of that building. So they're getting they're on the verge of people of that building just not existing anymore, and it makes sense to deconstruct in summer when there's fewer and fewer people around, because that's going to be a headache probably around there and whatnot too. So there's that. If you care about the Biltmore building and this place called Switch Yards, which is a cool little co-working space, they have a spot now in the Biltmore. If you're a student on campus and you just want like a place to go that's always got free coffee, it does cost them like $100 a month to go into, but it's really cool. It has magnificent vibes. I used to be part of it. It's fun. Now there's one within
Reminds
walking
me of
distance.
that space that SQ5 has downstairs. I think you get that with a lease there, but you know, the kind of like
Yeah.
it's a cool
Oh,
place to hang
the
out.
Tech Square. Oh, I know what you're talking
Ventures, I
about.
think. Maybe
Oh my
not Tech
God, I
Square
don't know what it's
Ventures.
called. It has like an
It's the basement
extremely,
thing.
I know it's called
They've
something
got the
extremely San
loft.
Francisco.
I don't want to.
It's gonna kill me.
I haven't been in this, but yeah, I think WeWork, but way cooler and Atlanta themed. So that's what you're dealing with. And it's right next to Atwoods.
Before we move on, Jake, do you remember back in the day? And now I feel very old having used back in the day unironically. Back in the day that the dining hall in Edge was actually accessible to students.
Yep, I do. You used to be able to get lunch there, and yes, have good memories, including going there myself. The food was pretty good.
And then they limited student access or
Yeah.
normie student access.
Yeah.
And now the entire building is going to go away. So salute to the Edge building. We hardly knew ye as normie students.
If anyone from athletics wants to bring me in there before it goes away, I'd love to see it one time. That's all.
Wonder if there's like an abandoned streetscape kind of vibe
It's
that you can get from there.
weird. And like I said, kind of a meme amongst, you know, my friends, just because, you know, it's like, oh, you used to be able to go there. It was like the cool, mystical place to go, but it
Yeah.
was definitely not worth all the hype. I will tell you that. It was the food was fine, the food was good, but I don't know. Britain looks nicer. How's that? West Village is newer. You know, North Ave breaks sometimes, apparently, I saw on Twitter
I could see
recently.
that too, yeah.
On X, excuse you.
What's X? I don't know.
Unfamiliar. I
Unfamiliar.
will
Never heard of
say
it.
for all the consternation about Edge's particularly post-Soviet architecture,
Okay, buddy.
it had a very, the museum was nice. I had a lot of the museum was very interesting. I had a lot of fun in there.
It's cool to see all the stuff in there. I'll be curious how they or where all the trophies and stuff and all the if they like try to maintain any of the exhibits anywhere because like they've got Bobby Jones material and all the bowl stuff. Like I wonder how they're gonna where that's gonna live and if it'll be
I
public
mean,
facing at all.
they're going to keep the trophies. It's
I mean,
just a
obviously,
matter of
yeah.
where, but a lot of those exhibits could use a refresh. Like, you know, there's definitely been people worth a mention that have, you know, come along in the last,
Oh
as
yeah.
far as I know, they haven't updated it since I
It
graduated. And
doesn't
even
look
then, it's
that. It doesn't look
like, you know,
updated, yeah.
you gotta toss a Tyler Strafacci, Andy Ogletree on the golf and a Kenya Jones on the women's tennis and, you know,
True.
Jose
Yeah.
Alvarado on the men's basketball, butt kicker on the football. Like just the general freshen up the content would probably I don't or like Chris Eubanks, you know? Like I'm pretty sure there
Right.
was no Eubanks mentioned
Yeah, there
last
should
time
be
I was
some
there,
stuff
but
in. Yeah, put his hat in there or
this
something. I
was a
don't
poll I was not prepared to make. So I could be
know.
completely off
We
base
said
on
we would find
that.
a way to do an hour and a half, and here we are.
Jake, when was the last time you were in the museum?
Spring 2020.
Okay, mine is the year before, and it was not
Yeah.
updated at all,
Yeah,
other than for
exactly.
putting Josh Pastner's like stats in the basketball area. It had not been updated at all. And if I remember correctly, the last major, well, the second to last major memory I have of that building, other than doing Red Club recruitment in the spring, is us attempting to attend the old regime's introductory press conference.
Yes, we did go to that, or maybe
I
some
had
of
to
it.
leave for something, but
I
you,
was there.
Ethan, and Cade stayed, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was super late. That's what I remember. I think I wound up
He,
having to
yeah.
leave too.
No, his plane
Anyways.
got turbo delayed.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it was a turboprop too. That makes sense. You made a joke and you didn't even know it. There you go. Good job.
Oh boy. I think this is a good segue into talking a little bit about Georgia Tech football. A couple of dates have come out for the 2024 season. We know about week zero in Ireland, but now we have official confirmation that the inter-city rivalry game of Georgia State versus Georgia Tech, the first leg of that will be week one in 2024. The ACC is kind of drip feeding us these games, which is bizarre and very ACC of them. The non-Saturday games will be released tomorrow, or I guess today when you listen to this, and literally everything else will be Wednesday. So keep an eye out for that. If you remember, this is also the first year of Stanford, California, and SMU in the
Yeah.
conference. And
Aren't
they
these the
still haven't
first?
bothered to rename the damn thing.
Yeah,
So,
they still the same conference, but these are the first schedules we've seen of any sport with the new teams on them. Like, this is the first time any of that's happened.
I have to say, seeing Stanford do eyes, like the eyes emoji with the schedule release tweet, like quote tweeting it, was
Yeah.
legitimately hilarious.
Yeah,
Like,
that's funny.
I've not laughed that hard in a while.
That's funny.
It was like, imagine telling someone 10 years ago at the start of the playoff era that in a decade, the
Right.
Pac-12 will not exist and Stanford, Cal, and SMU, and probably SMU will be in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Yeah. Makes
It's
sense.
absurd. It's some
It's a
real
timeline that
absurdist
really does
gin.
make sense, you know?
It's like the truest version of the absurdist humor that apparently Gen Z is supposed to be into. Just truly bizarre. Truly bizarre. Some other awards news that came down the pipe this past couple weeks. Eric Singleton was named to the Football Writers Association of America freshman All-American team. Amari Harvey was named to the AP All-Bowl team. So two nice little postseason recognition pieces for a pretty, I mean, a season of if like, a season of a lot of competence for a growing Georgia Tech program. Other football adjacent news, old friend Jahmyr Gibbs has been lights out for a similarly young and growing Detroit Lions team who is now making its first NFC Championship game appearance since 1991. Fun fact, and we double-checked this before we started recording, Tech has a player on every remaining team, at least one. Jahmyr Gibbs for the Lions, Jordan Mason on the 49ers, Harrison Butker obviously with the Chiefs, but also Hassan Hall is with the Chiefs, and then Trey Swilling is on the Baltimore Ravens practice squad. Gentlemen, very quickly before we move on, I'm going to start with Mr. Purdy. Give me your Super Bowl matchup prediction.
Prediction. Okay. I'm confident in Baltimore. Very confident in Baltimore right now. Kansas City, they had their, they looked weirdly good. I was watching with Jake last night and they was like, I kept noting, why did they look normal suddenly? Like, where was this
Yeah.
all the time? Like, where had this been? But Baltimore's too good. NFC
It
wise,
was.
here's my problem with the NFC. I mean, their quarterback shares the last name with me. We have no idea if we're related. But I grew up a Seahawks fan as well as a Falcons fan, so I have just no interest in seeing the Niners do anything good ever. And I just for my own heart, I have to root for the Lions. The Lions look great though. They really do look great. They got the vibe. They've got the right vibe right now that I've seen a lot of titled teams, or at least teams that get to the end, have. So I Ravens Lions is what I'm going for.
I'm going to make a very Jake allusion here. If the Bills would have won, we could have resulted in the 2016 World Series still being on the table, but the Super Bowl equivalent. You have the
Yeah.
Lions, The ne'er-do-well down on their luck, cursed to all oblivion team versus the Bills, who good in the 90s, but never did the thing. I was hoping for that. I think that's just like, oh my gosh, it's a great story, and
It
whoever
would have been great.
wins,
Would have been so
yay.
great.
So I'm all in on the Lions. I don't love Detroit for a lot of sports reasons, but I'm sick of the 49ers just keep cobbling together a machine. The Chiefs, I mean, they've got two. That's fine. Ravens, I guess it's been a couple of years. Lamar doesn't have one yet, but I feel that this is my duty to Lions fans, as other people had done to me as a down on my luck Cubs fan in 2016. So yeah, I'm all in on those powder blues. Or I guess not powder blues, sky blues. Not powder.
It's just a blue, man. This is blue.
Oh no,
Just
they've changed. No,
blue.
no. It is not
Well,
just
it's not
blue,
just blue,
because let me
obviously,
tell you, they've changed that shade. Only I would know this. They've changed that shade multiple times in the last like 5 years. It's
Man, that
bizarre.
recently? I knew they brightened it up. I didn't know it was that recently that they
It
did the
was
alteration.
very recent, if I remember correctly. I am gonna go with the completely anticlimactic Niners Chiefs. It's gonna happen. This is just the way that these things work.
I feel like
But
one of
I
them I
wish
feel like
Kyle
does
Shanahan
anticipate.
had
Please,
the
sports guy.
logo color, sir.
The
Think of the
logo
logo
color
color.
does dictate Niners Ravens.
It will be
Is
Niners Chiefs, and
decided.
I wish Kyle Shanahan knows such sporting happiness. Let's move on to men's tennis. A nice little trio of wins here for the men's tennis program. Friday versus Presbyterian. Sunday morning, Sunday early afternoon, depending on how you define it, versus Samford, and then Sunday late versus Wofford, all 7-0 sweeps. Jack, you had a nice look at this team versus Samford. What do you got for me?
They look very good against teams that they should beat, which is a good thing to hear. Of note, I remember Kenny Thorne saying on our interview I did with him a couple weeks ago how they had one of their old guys, just would never ever lose to the teams they had a clear advantage over because he was so scared of losing to them. He would like get even more hyped up for those matches, and he came and talked to the team this year. So I wonder if some of that bled in. It's just like, no, we're not losing these matches. We should never ever lose. So I'm looking forward to in the couple weeks or so, or whenever the next ITA individual rankings pop out, when we can finally see where Kayshav Chopra, Marcus McDaniel, and Andres Martin stand, because they have been killing it in their matches. But just they just didn't play ITA in the fall, so they didn't get ranked. So it's gonna be really fun to see where they land.
West Coast swing up for men's tennis this weekend. They'll hit Pepperdine on Sunday, and then Monday they'll be at Santa Barbara. So long flight, but just another day in the ACC. Am I right? Let's move on to the women's tennis.
ACC.
Let's
Sorry, go
move
ahead.
on to the number 20 in the nation women's tennis program. Rankings update for them. They didn't really lose much after. We're getting a little bit worked at Michigan, but oh boy, not a particularly good performance down at Central Florida, was it, Mr. Grant?
No, not particularly. I noted last year that UCF is a team that Tech has a pretty high level of familiarity with. I believe they played them twice last year. The one thing that I did want to call out about this particular match, as opposed to some of the other ones, is that they played it, I believe, and I'm pulling it up here as I kind of speak. Yes, they played at the USTA National Campus in Orlando. I believe that's not UCF's home court. That's like the facility for the Tennis Association. Might have, big game jitter type deal association, but in terms of like the actual, I guess the actual results, 6-2, 6-2, 6-4. In doubles, with one of those 6-2s being a win. Couple three setters that didn't finish, but I mean, Alejandro Cruz got kind of swept off the court, 6-0, 6-0, 6-3, 6-3, and 6-4, 6-3, two setters for courts four and five further down, Mahock Shane and Given Roach. So not really the I guess the result you'd hope for. And I don't want to say it wasn't particularly close because that's probably a bit of an exaggeration, but certainly a decisive win for UCF. So they're not ranked yet. The top 25 update comes out on, I believe, Wednesday. But it'll be interesting to see how that kind of changes. And if I can find Massey in the meantime, they didn't have college tennis up on basically Ken Massey rates everything, at every level of every sport. But at last I'd seen, there wasn't a 2023 or 2024 ranking up yet. So.
This is going to be maybe a very stupid thing on my part, but it's just dawned on me that Ken Massey, the guy that does the Massey ratings, is different from Cade Massey, who is a sports statistician and sports analytics professor at the Wharton School of Business at UPenn. And now I'm having a very despondent moment as my reality breaks around me. So
And they're both
that's
different from Ken Pomeroy, who famously does men's basketball
fun.
statistics.
My head hurts. Oh my God, so much. Women's tennis back in action at the ITA kickoff in Charlottesville. They'll face off first against Wisconsin and then against either Texas Tech or Virginia. That Virginia team, if I remember correctly, somewhere near the top of the ACC. Right.
I believe they're top of the country,
I believe they're
actually.
top of the top. Yeah, let me
Yeah.
pull up the rankings again.
Forgot if their men's or their women's team is actually number one, but it's one of their teams is
One
number
of them
one.
is. I remember seeing the graphic from the ACC,
Yeah.
and at least one of them is.
It'll be, yeah. They are
I'm pulling it
definitely
up.
good.
I'm
Let me just
pulling it
double.
up. Hold
I'm gonna double
on.
check here and see if we're playing them.
UNC is number one for the women.
UNC,
Virginia's
okay.
number 12
Virginia
for the
just
women.
okay. They are 12. All right. Well, that'd be nice if that at least could give us a preview because we do play them to start March at home. So there's that.
Indeed.
A lot of interesting games coming up for this women's tennis program along with the men. But
Program.
before we get to talking about basketball and swim and dive and track and field, a short break.
Yeah, we're actually going to keep talking about basketball because Miles Kelly NIL shirt is our move this week over at Section 103. Of course, I'm wearing my Section 103 tech hoodie because it is warm and it is cold outside right now. But you can always support Miles Kelly in his NIL efforts by buying a Miles Kelly t-shirt. Men's and women's basketball are in full tilt. Be sure to go check out Section 103 for exclusive and comfortable Georgia Tech apparel. Don't forget to use the code from the Rumble Seat FTRS for 10% off.
Welcome back. Let's talk about men's basketball. First up, Tuesday featured a 93 to 92 overtime win at Clemson. And then Saturday, Tech at home lost to Virginia 75 to 66. Mr. Grant, in my notes,
Yes.
you have Jake has many comments underneath the Clemson one. And I know you were very fond of making this trip up to Clemson, so I'm going to give you the floor.
Yeah, I didn't make this trip up there because it was a 9 p.m. game on a Tuesday that wound up going, I don't know what time it ends. I can't remember. Oh, yeah, 2 hours and 51 minutes. It was a long one. So that's late for a Tuesday. I'm very impressed by how many people were in the building for that late game. But Georgia Tech did get back in the win column. They finished the Clemson game 9-8, and spoiler alert, 9-9 after Virginia. But we'll get there. Georgia Tech led by a pretty sizable amount very late in the game against Clemson. They shot reasonably well throughout, especially in the second half. Their field goal percentage was 58% in the second half, and 50% from three, 7 of 14. It really kept them in the game after a relatively quiet 7 for 20 showing, though not all that bad. 35% is a pretty solid showing in the first half. Georgia Tech was very effective at the line in the the regulation, if you will. They went a combined 7 for 9 from the stripe. Again, all that came down to really, really matter because Georgia Tech not only tied up the game on some particularly excellent play from Nate George, who essentially called his own number several times when the game was very much on the line late, to one, force overtime, and two, to force a second overtime. Kyle Sturdivant also very, very good at the line there. But all that to say, Georgia Tech matched up against a much larger Clemson team. This is certainly why the foul disparity was what it was. Georgia Tech was kind of getting pushed around a little bit and was out rebounded 45-33, including very few offensive rebounds and very critical offensive rebounds that Clemson was able to make on their side to keep I want to say keep them in the game. They led for almost 41 minutes of the 50 that were played. In the end, I think the game came most down to Georgia Tech just making really, really timely shots. I know that that's how all basketball games work for the most part, but really a nicely distributed scoring load. You had five in double figures. Ndongo did foul out. That is worth noting. That could have been costly if it did wind up going to a third overtime. But in terms of distribution, Kyle Sturdivant, Nathan George both finished with 18 and 20 points respectively. Miles Kelly 14, Kwesi Reeves 15, including for Kwesi 5 for 7 from three. Miles Kelly continues to be a little bit cold from three. He went 1 for 6. But I don't think you can say that this game is proof positive, especially considering Tech did trail pretty significantly late. But Clemson is statistically a better team than Georgia Tech, quite frankly. I don't think that's unfair of me to kind of put out there. But in terms of, I guess it's not even really regression to me, and the two overtimes is kind of wild. But Georgia Tech's really been hanging around a lot of these games that they've played in the 5-game losing streak that they had. So, one was bound to kind of come out the other direction. Clemson being, if you include and you want to take a look at the Duke game in front of them, it's Georgia Tech's second best win per the net this year, and it does represent their second quad one win of the year. They're 2-2 in quad one games. Mississippi State has since fallen down into quad two there. I keep rambling. Does anybody have any like stuff they want to chime in with here?
The only thing that I have on this game is that I watched a little bit at the start and was occasionally checking in on our writer's room as I had other stuff to do that night. And then I came in and I think, let's see, I checked in at 11:30 to find that this game was still going after a 9 p.m. tip. Which again, no one should be tipping games at 9 p.m., but that's
No, never.
besides the point.
Yeah.
This game was still going 2.5 hours later. And so I watched the tail end of overtime, of overtime, and then also the entirety of the second overtime. Again, terrifying prospects as someone that has skin in the game. And hopefully glad that Tech was able to come out with a victory. I am amazed that Brad Brunell is still employed at Clemson University. I almost said University of Clemson, and that really would have sent some people ajar.
Oh
But
God. I forgot he's only made three tournaments. I thought it was like
we looked this
five or
up. We looked
six.
this up over
Yeah.
that weekend. It was
Yeah.
insane that he every time his job comes up for debate or is un, or he's on the hot seat, he makes the tournament and buys himself at least 2 more years. And I feel like he's at the end of his rope. He has to be. He cannot, he
Interesting.
simply cannot be continue to get away with this.
I mean, he can, he has, and in the future he will have done. He's done it before, but all that to say, Clemson, they did go on a skid of their own recently. They are 13-5. They're ranked 34 in the net. All of that is quite good. But they did have, I guess it was three straight losses to start to start, maybe not start ACC play because you got that weird December game, but to start ACC play in earnest, they dropped a game to Miami, who's kind of tumbled down the rankings, as well as North Carolina. Really no shame in that, I think. And then at Virginia Tech, the ACC, gents, it seems like a pretty reasonably competitive conference this year. You've got Boston College seemingly back from beyond. Of course, Louisville, no bueno. Notre Dame shouldn't have lost that game if you're Georgia Tech. But if you're Tech, you're looking up at a pretty reasonable collection, if not nationally heralded, or top 25 set of teams. But it's pretty even, especially that middle chunk between your like Virginia and your BC. Like that's like 10 teams in 35
I
spots
was
over there.
surprised to see that Virginia wasn't even ranked this year. I kind of just forgot that they had lost everybody, but I was like, oh, they didn't even get a vote in the last poll. Like they're fully unranked.
Yeah,
One
they had
thing
a
I'd
bit of a streak too, so that kind of
yeah,
plays
there you
into
go.
it.
And looking at the stats from the Clemson game, Tech shot 6 of 7 between both overtimes. Clemson shot 5 of 18.
Tech
Just
got to the line a good amount too in that second overtime.
11 times, 11. Well, so did Clemson. They got to the line 12 times. We got there 11 times. It was just a wild, wild little stretch there. Also, Tyjon Claude basically played the entire second half. Dewona didn't even show up. He showed up for all of 3 seconds between the second half and overtime. So I clearly sticking with the things that worked in that case, and Claude did do well from the line and everything. So it's good to see. I know he's had this team will have guys that just like are there for a game, then just disappear. They're back for a game and then disappear. So it's good to see that it worked when he was there, of all things. So this UVA game though, another. Oh, we did some good things and then it all went away kind of situation, right?
You know what this reminded me of? I don't know if either of you guys remember this game. Did you watch the game Tech played at State Farm against LSU? I think it was 21-22.
Kinda. I remember watching
I
this on
do
my phone at
remember
a Chris.
this,
I
but I
was watching
don't
this
think
at a
I've
Christmas
watched
party
it.
on my phone.
Tech went up like 26-9 or something like that,
That's
and then got
right.
outscored by like 70-25 the rest of the way. I know that this wasn't that extreme, at least based on my currently like processing mental math, but it felt a lot like that, where it's like, yep, kick up the heels, boys. We're up big early. And then just kind of all withered away.
That's a thing that Damon's mentioned in his press conferences. Just like you, once you're up ahead, you just go even harder. Don't you cannot let up whatsoever. And that's a young team thing. The women's team has shown some more traits, more in tight, compact situations where like they hit a big bucket and then just forget to come back on defense. But this the men's team, I think, is doing a much more like no. There's a clear attitude and effort change here of okay, we're up double digits. We can take the next few minutes a little bit less seriously, but then if you do that, you end up losing. So they're still figuring that out. That's a mental hurdle. That's not a skill issue. That's just a pure mental thing you got to get over. They're good enough to not do it. They just have to do it.
I'm staring at the game flow chart that someone put in our writers' room from earlier in this game or
I would
earlier
advise you
this game.
don't.
And it's giving me so much psychic damage to just watch Tech like score in bunches and have all of this like this massive delta of space between Tech and UVA for almost the entirety of the first half until Tech goes absolutely ice cold and stops scoring for what looks like 5 minutes. And UVA just takes the lead and never relinquishes it and honestly creates so much more space of their own. It is.
And that's the thing. They let UVA shoot 50% from the field in the first and the second. They let UVA shoot 55 from three in the first and 42-9 in the third. It's not just an offensive thing, it's a defensive thing too. Like, yeah, Georgia Tech can be pretty good from three, and it can really help them hang around ball games. We saw that against Clemson. And on a game, shooting 45% from the field and 33.3 from three. I mean, not like world-beating numbers, but not that bad either. But you cannot let your opponents go 50 and 47. That's crazy. And honestly, not on a huge sample size, but Virginia going 54-5 from the free throw line kind of balanced that out a little bit, but not particularly. It's just tough. It's real tough.
Ridiculous. I think there was a pretty good crowd on hand for this one. It was a Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening at home. Good. Classes had started back up. It's a
Good crowd at
tight
Rocky
game, but
before the
parts of
game
it
too.
it's another frustrating loss, I think, in a season of a bunch of these. Just a rankings update for Tech as we continue to move on. They're now 122nd in KenPom. That is behind FCS powerhouse Eastern Washington, but ahead of ACC rival Cal. So there is that. Tech men's basketball will be back in action on a Tuesday. So today, when you hear this, I think that's a 7 p.m. tip at home versus Pitt, and then a Saturday tip at Blacksburg. A interesting week, to say the least, coming up for Tech, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'd say so. Georgia Tech does catch Pitt at home. Pitt is 69th in the net. That would be, I believe, a quad two win if they can pull that out, which Tech needs some of those. And then they've also got at Virginia Tech, as we noticed, at Virginia Tech there, that they're about 51st. So really back in the weeds of this middle chunk of the ACC, both slightly lower ranked than Virginia, but Tech has handled. Clemson has acquitted themselves well twice against Duke. I mean, it's time for these to start evening out, but on the whole, going 1-1 each week for a young team in the ACC, new coach, wouldn't be the worst way in the world to spend this. It just doesn't get you to the tournament and likely not the NIT either.
Did you say 1-1 in the ACC in the same week?
Every
That's
week,
what he said.
yeah.
That's what he said.
Do I have another team that did that for you? Women's basketball this past week, Thursday, they took a 4-point loss or 5-point loss, excuse me, to number 23 North Carolina. And on Sunday, they beat Boston College by 15. A split week, a 1-1 week. That North Carolina loss is a little frustrating to look at on the sheet. Obviously, North Carolina ranked this year. That's number 23, North Carolina, which I don't think I mentioned. But it's tough. I think one of the things that we've talked about historically when it comes to this Tech women's basketball program is that at a time a couple years ago, they had a chance to be in that second tier. Right under your traditional powerhouses of like Louisville, NC State, and those of that ilk, and they'd be in that second tier with FSU and Notre Dame. But now that Notre Dame has leveled up their game into that first tier, and FSU has sort of come back from the sort of malaise that they were in, Tech has really fallen down from that tier system or in that tier system, and UNC is probably right where we would expect, or right where we wanted Tech to be. And so looking at this game from that lens, and especially how close of the losses ended up being, it's a little frustrating.
Well, do you know how many points we were down in the fourth quarter at one point?
No, please
14.
tell me.
14 points. We nearly came back from a, we were a possession away from tying after being down 14, all within the same quarter at the end here. So they did some work to come back in this game. This is also both these games. Nell Fortner was not on the bench. She's been sick the last few days. So, offensive coordinator and associate head coach Blanche Alverson took over, not necessarily took over, but just was the head boss on the bench for these two games. Yeah, it was a size mismatch against North Carolina. That was the thing. They had played Ariana Turtmus a lot more, as we kind of predicted that they would do. They didn't start her, but she still played 21 minutes in this game and she got 11 points. Tony, problem here is turnovers. There's still a driving to the basket thing where she's not yet terribly clean on that. She gets her buckets when she can, but she is also still a little bit turn a little bit too turnover prone there. She had 5 in this game, but led scoring with 15. For Tech, Deja Kelly for North Carolina, very good. Played all 40 minutes, shot 7 of 15, and made 10 free throws. And we could not get her off the free throw line. That's basically why we lost, because we could not get her off the free throw line whatsoever. So yeah, I mean,
I've
in
got
terms
it.
of like, it was like it's one of those games where we last like last year, I think a couple other games I mentioned where we would have been dead in the water, lost by a gazillion, but we didn't. We actually made a run here and put some real fight in.
I've got a question for you, gents. Do you know the phrase close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades? I don't know. I don't know much about either. I just know the phrase, and that keeps rattling around in my head. It seems like Georgia Tech men's and women's basketball, and I hate to lump two teams together that are,
They're very
separate
similar.
independent
They're
teams, but
very
I often
similar right
find
now.
myself
Very
doing
similar
this.
right now.
Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. We've been playing all these games, and it's like, yes, on some level, a moral victory is okay, but like, man, at some point you expect it to even out, maybe just a
So
little.
I get what
I
you're
don't know.
saying. We're at measurable progress, though. Like
Yeah, oh yeah, both
these
sides, I'd say.
at this point last year, we were in the midst of both teams going on 6+ game losing streaks simultaneously. Like it was
That was
remarkably bad.
great. I don't
It
know
was
about you. I had a
remarkably
lot of
bad.
fun.
I think as
I
we
did
just stopped
not.
talking about both of those teams on the podcast at that point, like it was remarkably bad. That this is not the case. This is two very young teams dealing with lots of change and identity change as well at the same time. Very similar identities of they can shoot the lights out, but can they defend? Who knows? Figure it out on a night-to-night basis.
They can shoot the lights out sometimes.
Yes, right. I mean, that's part of the being young. Part two is that this could be some cold nights, like Russ Augustinate had in this game. She didn't score. She had a 4-point play in the fourth quarter that really made this game possible. She hadn't scored in like a game and a half until this game and got back in her groove. But she's a freshman. There's sometimes where she's just not going to make a bucket for like 35 minutes, and she's getting scouted now too. So she's now at the first battle of okay, now people know how to play me. They didn't know how to play her at the front half of the season. Now they do. She got adjusted to
Yeah.
that. Boston College, thankfully, not that much of a fight. We killed them very early on and it stayed that way. Kept them at arm's reach, as Jake put it to me last night. Just didn't let them get into it. Had them.
It was a classic smothering. A very competent basketball game. I feel like Georgia Tech, especially the women, have this like trademark like 60 high-ish number to 50 low-ish number. Just we are it is and it's all it feels like it's on Sunday afternoon a lot too. Maybe this is me now goal seeking here, but like it's like okay, like we are just gonna come and we are gonna do it, and that is that, you know.
They were able to play. Let's see. They let Deja Thomas play 5 minutes. Let Carter play a few minutes. Our Termas only got 9 minutes. They mostly just let the starters cook for the most part. Kayla got 16 points. Tony got 15. Inez got 12. Kara Dunn got 15. She's at 12. Kara Dunn's at 12 straight double digit games now. So she is easily just being the motor that runs his offense. We won the first quarter 24-10, and that's about all she said for that game. So
I think one of the things that also just to double back to something we were saying earlier about these two teams being very similar. So one of the things that we confounds those analyses is also that this is like a down period for the ACC in men's basketball, while it is a very, very high mark for the ACC in women's basketball,
yeah,
right?
true, true.
And
Yeah.
it's like, and I think also the new coach effect also plays a role, right? We're willing to give Damon a little bit more rope, while with Nell, we know what her teams can do, and we have certain expectations of this program based on those teams, even if some of those same components, the Lorella Kubai, et cetera, aren't necessarily there. So
Yeah.
I think the close but no cigar, like that kind of metaphor is apt. Like I definitely agree with it. It's one of the driving reasons why I feel like the men's program is so frustrating to me. But
Right.
I think you can color the lines set by that metaphor in two different ways, given the context of these two different programs, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. Women's
Yeah.
team now squarely middle of the pack in the ACC, at least on the women's side. They're 4-3. But they're behind a bunch of ranked teams: Florida State, North Carolina State, Virginia Tech, Notre
I mean,
Dame,
it's
North
just it's a good
Carolina. It's just a
conference. Like it's a
yeah.
really, really good conference at
Yeah,
the top.
it's not it this is not a this is a great place to be, and knowing that this is you're one of three of what this team should truly actually look like, and you're start and this is the floor and not further down. So that's really nice. On the men's side, currently they are down at the floor because we're only 2-5 in ACC play, which that's gonna be rough there too. We're of the best team. I mean, we're 9-9. We're the only. Let's see, we're one of three teams in the conference right now that does not have a 501 or better record right now, overall.
Up next for the women, just so as to move on, up next for the women Thursday, they'll play Virginia Tech, which is one of those ranked teams above them in the ACC standings. And then Sunday, they'll play another one of them in Florida State. That's number 19, Virginia Tech, with Elizabeth Kitley, excuse me, and Georgia Amore, and number 23, Florida State. So tough sledding
Gonna be
next
rough. Gonna
weeks.
be rough.
But I mean, that Florida State game, I think, is one that last week we pointed to as a benchmark, right? Tech was unable to keep pace with Florida State in the first leg of that, in the basically the last 15 minutes. So let's see how they do across the entire 40 this time around. Let's go over to track and field real quick. A bunch of results from another Clemson. This was another Clemson one this week, wasn't it? Another Clemson hosted invite, or was it a was this the Vandy one? I can never get some of
I
these
think this
straight.
is Vandy,
It
right?
was Vandy, yeah.
This was the Vandy's Commodore invite. Excuse me, I forgot the name of it.
Yes.
Mr. Grant, you have the results in front of you. Give me the TLDR, por favor.
Yes. I will say we do have a couple medalists in this one. There were a few first, few seconds, few thirds. Those would be the main ones to shout out. The 4x400, Jamison Miller, Sydney McReynolds, Caden Terrell, Winston DeCuir the third. Good to see the men in a short distance track event getting some good results. I feel like it's been a minute since we've had some podium type finishes there. So I really wanted to shout that one out. A couple other third and second place. Shanti Papacosta, second in the women's high jump. Thirds were in Helena Lindsay and the 1 mile run, and Amaya Wilson, third place in the long jump. So decent mix of track distance and sprints. But again, really wanted to shout out the relays. I think one thing that we've said a lot over the years and have made much ado in terms of swimming success and tying that to relay points. Seeing I'm more on the tracks, just a diversity of events in which Tech. Maybe Excel might yield well at ACCs. It's been a minute since we've been in the mix for podium events outside of a few select athletes there. So it would be really nice to see if that translates. Oh, and of course, Katie Earwood finished third in the 5,000 as well. So I didn't want to make sh or wanted to make sure I didn't forget.
Good stuff. Last thing before we head on to trivia, swim and dives next events. They will be up at Macaulay Aquatic Center versus South Carolina. That would be, ooh, that's that Friday, the 26th. That is a 3 p.m. And this one's actually on TV. That'll be, well, TV, quote unquote. That's ACC Network Extra. And then on Saturday, January 27th, they'll face Carson Newman and East Carolina at 11 a.m., also at Macaulay, also on ACC Network Extra. Gentlemen, any quick previews for that series before we move on?
Yes, I do. I want to pull up South Carolina's cap results because I do have that at the ready over here. That's a good one to grab, especially on the ladies' side. They'll get some good competition. They are 25th in the cap, grabbing the men's score as well. They're currently 44th, kind of the inverse, if you will, of how Georgia Tech currently shakes out in terms of the ranking. So it might be a good not composite, but I prognosticate some sort of win, tight win or tie on the men's side, and a loss on the women's. But if the ladies stake a win here, that would be something definitely to circle.
Good stuff. Gentlemen, it's time for trivia. Mr. Grant, what have you prepared for us today?
So, a little embarrassing, but I realized that thanks to Jack, who was poking around with our database, that when I originally entered all the volleyball results into the database, all the 3-0 sweeps by Georgia Tech got entered as 3-1s. So, in honor of having a moment to fix all that, I decided to bust out the Scoregami tool. Scoregami, for those who don't know, it's a concept invented by John Boyce in 2016. Documentarian and sports writer John Boyce, and science fiction writer, really an eclectic guy. But essentially, it is the set of unique scores achieved by a team. In this case, that includes the teams that are in our database. For those who this is your first Science of the Southland, that's football, men's basketball, women's basketball, baseball, softball, men's, women's tennis, and volleyball. So 8 programs there. But it re represents the scores achieved by those programs, either collectively or individually. In this case, we can separate them both out. That being said, Georgia Tech is owner of a very famous college football Scoregami, the 222 to nothing, the most lopsided score, really in sports history, if we're
In
being
American sports history, yeah.
candid. So, Jack, you and I kind of talked through a couple of the results last night, so I won't retread what we've got there, but I do have a lot of ways we can go with this. But if you're interested, I do want to start at this one point. And Akshay, do you know what the most common score for Georgia Tech is across all 8 of those sports at the end of a match or game? It's the obvious answer, if that helps.
What, 3-1,
I just
3-4-0?
three for Georgia Tech, just three. Three is the most obvious there, because volleyball, all winning volleyball matches, at least in the modern era, end in three. But interestingly, Georgia Tech volleyball, Georgia Tech's opponents, I should say, most common score is not three, and that is because the sheer number of sporting events or volleyball events that have ended 3-2, 3-1, or 3-0 in Tech's favor distribute all of those out over other numbers, and that being a lopsided all-time result. Gents, I know I'm kind of rambling here, so I do want to ask the other one that jumped out to me. Do you know the numbers, or how many numbers I should say, between 1 and 70, or 0 and 70, Georgia Tech football has not scored in a game?
Okay,
They've
so
scored at least one result in all but X number of the possible numbers between 0 and 70. Do you know what that is?
okay. Ooh.
Give me 25. They're
Oh, you're
missing
way too high.
25
Way,
results.
way, 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 way too high.
Seriously, they're fewer than 20.
Yeah, I mean, you play FCS games, so you can get up there in those 50s and 60s pretty easily.
We've played way too many football games, period.
It
This is
helps when the
telling
team's
me.
it helps when the team's over 100 years old. Yeah, I'm gonna go with 8.
Nope, it's less.
Oh wow, okay.
One of the numbers is really obvious. It's 1. Georgia Tech's never finished a
No,
football
right,
game with
yeah.
1 point. But in addition to that, 50, 60, 62, and 64 are the blank spots on the Tech
Okay.
side of the ledger. It's a little bit more open on the opponent side. Of course, 1 again is open, but 53, 56 through 62, and 64 through 68, along with 70, are open on the opponent's side. It's interesting because it yields a distribution that's super jagged, of course, because scoring 4 points a game is very uncommon. But
Yeah.
it skews Tech just a little bit further to the right at most points than their opponents all time. Georgia Tech's most common score at the end of a football game is is 0, 8.8% of the time, but opponents 0 as well. Excluding that, it's interestingly 7, 7 being a very common result, 7.6% of the time for Georgia Tech, 10.3% of the time for opponents. One interesting thing I noticed in the data is, in addition to the threes you see from volleyball being very common, the scores that sum to 7 for tennis results are also very apparent. So I thought that was interesting as well. This one's a little open-ended. Are there any fun facts about distributions you would like to learn from the Scorigami data set for another sport? I've got all the distributions in front of me and all the results, but it's really a lot of ways we could go with
I
this.
think this makes a great article for the actual website, because
That is true.
that way we could look at this instead of explain it on this visual medium that we have here on Science the Sun.
Podcasting, as always, is best known for it being a visual medium.
But it's
I've
cool. I
looked at
mean,
this constantly over the past
Jake
5
showed me
years.
this last night. It's all really cool. I hope we have, not to
It's
make words for
interesting because
Jake,
you
but I
can
hope we have
see
a
the
publicly
normal
released one.
distribution in women's basketball scores. That's not the same for the men's because
Interesting.
the men's is so much older that like the pre three
Yeah.
point line, the pre
Oh,
shot
true,
clock,
true, true,
there
true.
it's like a nice like over towards the low end of the scoreboard. It's interesting to compare some of these. Or for like men's tennis, used to play to 9 points instead of seven.
Yeah,
So
yeah,
that one
yeah.
gets a little interesting too. Yeah.
It'll be it'll be cool to eventually have. I put a tweet up at some point this year of like there was three games that I know were Scorigami's. One of them was the North Carolina football game, and then a couple basketball games were unique, like never happened in either direction Scorigami's. But yeah, there'll be at some point once we, when we have a fully, I guess we do have the full version of this now, but I'll start putting some like more data out there on the public, on the socials of like what has happened, what hasn't happened, and when stuff like that goes down.
The most common baseball score, interestingly, is 4-3. I don't know why that's interesting, but it's kind of
Ah,
interesting.
yeah, it is.
86 times, 86 out of the 4,454.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. The more you know. The baseball one is also an interesting distribution. It's very skewed towards the left-hand side, so it's not a, of course, not a normal distribution, but you know. Zero zero is really as far down as you can go. Can't get negative there.
Just you wait. If we can find a way in the data, we'll find a way. We will find a way. We'll find a way to wrap up the show, gentlemen. Thank you for joining me today on this chilly Monday evening in Atlanta. Just a couple of reminders for you for folks on the way out. We'll have interviews with baseball's Ben King and John Geisler dropping on Thursday. There's an interview from softball head coach Eileen Morales kicking around your podcast feeds from last week. And softball single game tickets are now on sale, so check those out. In the meantime, Mr. Grant, take us out.
Exactly. As always, you can find us at fromtherumbleseat.com. Email us fromtherumbleseat@gmail.com. We love to hear your questions, comments, suggestions. The data sets we have and the things that we could discuss grow ever longer. I'm contemplating doing a reread of some history books in advance of the summer. So that way we can get that content put together. It will be here before we know it, which is wild, wild, wild to say. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at FTRS blog. I'm at Jake Grant 98. Jack's at Jack Nicholas. You can find Section 103 there as well at Section 103 or section103.com. Remember, FTRS, 10% off. Tell them we sent you. You can find us Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at From the Rumble Seat and this podcast. Wherever fine podcasts are distributed, as always, tell your friends. We appreciate the referral. It is the most powerful way to share what we do with the tech fans in your lives. But in the meantime, we will talk to you all next week. Good night, good luck, and go Jackets.